When Taylor Swift left McNally Jackson, Soho's highly regarded independent bookstore, gossip bloggers and tweeters wondered what was in the pair of shopping bags she carried out. Whether they were volumes from the feminism and women's section or romancers and thrillers in paperback, the bookstore clerks kept mum. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. With a Barnes & Noble close by her new home in Tribeca, Swift made book buying into a fashion statement. It was a timely display ahead of the imminent return to Manhattan of Book Expo America, the industry's hallmark trade show. With a BEA preview, Andrew Albanese, senior writer at Publishers Weekly, joins me from his New York office. And welcome back, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, indeed, it is getting to be that time of year. Spring is upon us, and BEA cannot be far behind. In Monday's issue, you've got a preview of what to expect, including an interesting section that maybe Taylor Swift will want to get, which is all about some bookstores in New York. Tell us about that.
That is right. Monday's issue is our annual BEA preview, and we will be previewing all of the events at BEA, which is in New York City this year, set to begin, I believe, on May 28th. We have a jammed issue once again this year, and it includes our popular features on the galleys to grab at the show, as well as our look around the booths, that is, who's actually going to be exhibiting at this year's BEA. And of course, we have a rundown of the great authors who will be appearing there. And, you know, as I said, it's a jam-packed and a really fun issue. And it also has a feature that we like to call our Busman's Holiday feature, and that is sort of a shout out to the bookstores that you might want to visit while you're in New York City for the show. And that includes great stores like Posman Books and McNally Jackson. And it even goes borough by borough, not just, you know, confined to Manhattan, but it includes stores like Word in Greenpoint, a store that I really love, which actually happened to open a second location, I believe, in Jersey City this year. In addition to books, they also have these eccentric cards and stationery that are really cool. And our soapbox in this issue is a great entry from a literary agent and ebook publisher Richard Curtis. Now, it's not in verse, unfortunately. Our readers might recall that Richard, for years, would do year-end poems for us at PW that were simply amazing. You should go back and look in the archives for some of those. They're terrific. But this is, once again, a great piece from Richard Curtis, even though it's not in verse, and it will help get you ready for BEA along with Monday's issue of PW.
Well, as we've already previewed for our listeners, BEA has a new element this year, a new feature that is expanding its consumer-facing view to the world, and it's going to be open to the public, called BookCon.
Yeah, we have a feature on the consumer event this year, and it's starting to get a little bit of attention outside of publishing circles. I've seen a couple of articles in the mainstream press, which is great. Yeah, and you'll recall that last year, the general public was allowed into BEA on a limited basis for what was called Power Reader Day. And I think the general consensus from last year was, you know, we need to accelerate this. And, you know, we've been talking for years about, you know, the publishing industry's need to find a way to get the public more involved, as publishing is increasingly becoming a consumer-facing business in the digital age. You know, but having consumers walk the trade floor at BEA, well, you know, you're a BEA veteran, Chris, you can imagine how that would go. But this year, with the launch of BookCon, you know, finally the public-facing game is really on. And I'm of two minds about this. You know, the first is, you know, wow, what a challenge it really is going to be to make this all work. But also, I have to say, it's really shaping up to be a heck of a program. And whatever hiccups are, you know, to be expected and surely are going to come, I'm genuinely looking forward to the event. It really does have a great lineup. You know, I'll give you a few details from the feature. You know, BookCon, as you might imagine, is seeking to emulate the popularity of Comic-Con. No word yet on whether or not people are going to be showing up in costume, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past them. Consumers are going to be welcome to the designated BookCon area of the Javits Center all day on Saturday, May 31st, until the 3 p.m. close. But to get the party started, there's an official kickoff for the party on Friday, May 30th. That's going to be hosted by Tina Fey and Jason Bateman, along with film director Sean Levy and Jonathan Tropper, who is the author of the bestselling This Is Where I Leave You. And there's also going to be a panel discussion, which will be followed by a two-hour happy hour event. Tickets for the whole event are going to be $30, and that's about $20 less than what consumers paid last year for Power Reader Day. You know, in addition to Tina Fey and Jason Bateman, there's going to be Amy Poehler this year, as well as celebrities like Martin Short and Alan Cumming and Lena Dunham and Colm Tobin. On the author stage, John Green will be on hand for a panel, as well as John Grisham, who's going to be interviewed by Carl Hiaasen, whose books I think are a riot. Jodi Picoult. For all you foodies, we have Ruth Reichel and Mariel Batali. And there's going to be some cool panels offering insight into the publishing process, which I know a lot of people who come are going to be interested in the publishing process, whether self-publishing or whether submitting a book. So, you know, there's a really great panel that I'm looking forward to by Penguin's art director that's called Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover. And publishers are also not holding back on the giveaways and the swag, which are a hallmark of the show for the consumer side. Most notably, there's a giveaway of 200 copies of Stephen King's new book, Mr. Mercedes, and that's 3 days ahead of the official on sale date. And there's still much yet to be added to the programming. So watch this space.
Indeed. And, you know, a 2-hour happy hour, that should guarantee some success for all of this. But as you point out, there are really no guarantees overall on this.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a really fun show, but let's face it, a lot of this is going to be new ground for these publishers. You know, on Thursday, I attended a panel on selling direct to consumers, where that fact was made pretty much abundantly clear. You know, you can read the piece on the PW site today. It features Zola Books, Joe Regal, among others. You know, but as the tech community always says, you have to fail forward. Now, I think the event's going to do really well. I'm not suggesting it's going to fail by any stretch, but I think even those parts of BookCon that don't necessarily kill it right out of the gate are still going to be a valuable experience for publishers. So, you know, before we even get started here, I would just say kudos to the publishers for jumping on this and embracing it, and to BEA and Read Expo for so aggressively pushing the consumer element of this forward.
Indeed. And speaking of aggressively pushing forward, our weekly check-in on the Apple trial, and there is some news this week. What's the latest there?
That's right. This week, Judge Denise Coate handed down 2 more decisions, which keep Apple's losing streak intact. The latest news is that there will be no stay for Apple, and that the trial will, in fact, be held in New York City after all. Our readers will recall that Apple had asked for a stay of all proceedings while its appeals are being sorted out, and it had also asked that the trial be moved from New York back to its original jurisdictions, which were in California for the consumer class action and in Texas for the state action. But as I predicted here, and really as anyone who's watching this case could easily have predicted, Judge Coate denied both motions, and we are now full steam ahead toward a July 14th damages trial, and there's $840 million in consumer ebook refunds on the hook, so stay tuned.
Well, a losing week in Judge Coate's courtroom, Andrew, but a winning week on Wall Street, where Apple's news was pretty strong. And indeed, while you say this, $840 million in ebook refunds coming, that shouldn't hurt too much for a company with more than $150 billion in cash on hand. So no tears there for Apple. But as always, Andrew Albanese, thanks so much for joining us on Beyond the Book with the latest news from the book business.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.